Hello and welcome to the Microsoft Data Center vNext Preview, bringing Azure to your data center. Hopefully you've seen some of the amazing announcements at Ignite in the keynote around Windows Server, System Center, and the all-new Azure Stack. In this session, we're going to delve one level deeper into the specific area of security and assurance. My name is Matt McSpirit, Technical Evangelist, and I'm pleased to be joined by Anders, who's a Technical Fellow here at Microsoft. Welcome, Anders.
Thank you.
So to start, when it comes to security, everyone tends to grasp that it's important, but what does today's threat landscape look like for people today? And what are some of the landscape shifts that are bringing about change in the data center?
The threat situation is clearly serious. You can see it all over the newspapers. Not just that companies get attacked, but very sophisticated companies with good operations are attacked. And the point is, it's not 13-year-old hackers we're talking about. It's organized crime, it's state actors. We get involved in geopolitics, and these attacks can do very serious damage. It's always been important. It is much more important today. Now, the challenge we're facing is that the technical landscape has changed at the same time. We have virtualization, which changes a lot of the fundamental underpinnings for how we do security. We have the whole concept of large-scale cloud computing. In the past, if you had sensitive data, you would put it on one server, and then you would really watch that server, you would put it into a cage, and you would do all kinds of things. That doesn't fit with the cloud model where you have a room full of thousands of machines. And then finally, we have the concept of the public cloud, or the service provider, because now, suddenly, we have introduced a trust boundary between the tenant who is running the workloads and the technical staff that operates at the service provider. And that's a trust boundary we have not had before. And that changes a lot of practical things. All of these things change the practical aspects of how we can deal with security and achieve that. This all comes together in a very serious way, because if we don't have a good answer to the core question of how can I achieve security and compliance and assurance in the cloud, that will in effect prevent enterprises from adopting the cloud and getting the benefits of cloud computing. So we have to answer this question in a robust and reliable way.
So what are some of the principles for dealing with this whole situation around security?
The fundamental problem we have identified is abuse of administrator privileges. Administrators have unlimited power. And what happens is that these credentials can be compromised, right? These privileges can be compromised. It may happen for a number of reasons. We can attempt to prevent it. We can have anti-malware, all kinds of technologies. But we know that social engineering works. We know that you can fool people. And we know that bribery works. And sometimes there are people with private initiatives, the insider attacks of different kinds. If you think of Edward Snowden, he was an insider. And whatever you think of what he did, it was embarrassing for his employer, right? He just walked away with a lot of information. So we have the problem that administrator privileges can and will be compromised. And we cannot prevent people from ever being fooled. And because of the unlimited privileges they have, that's an interesting challenge. And in the past, we tended to give up on this thing and say, insider attacks, I can't do anything about that. But that's not a viable answer. So what we're doing now is we are addressing the problem with a mindset that we call assume breach. We don't assume that we can protect ourselves by putting up a wall around the data center. We have to assume that systems will be breached. And then we need to focus on containing the damage. So we do a form of analysis where we look at each system and saying, if this system gets breached, what happens? How can we prevent the rest of the environment from being compromised? And then we go through the whole environment and we trace things like that. And once we can contain every form of attack, now we have the beginnings of a foundation that we can use to really get back to the root of this thing. And this whole mindset is very different from what we did 10 years ago when we thought the firewall around the data center was enough. It is no longer enough.
Okay, so when we think about some of the threats, the cyber attacks, the landscape shifts that you talked about, like virtualization, and those principles you defined, what at a high level are some of the initiatives that Microsoft is bringing to market in the next wave of the platform to help address that?
We're doing a number of things. Some of them are grouped under the heading of protecting the workload, the tenant, from attacks from the fabric and from the fabric administrators. And there are many things we can do there. Then, of course, the workload can be attacked directly from the tenant staff or for internet attacks, and, you know, all of the classical things we're used to. And what can we do to protect that? And then the third element is that just that we have to be realistic and recognize that protections will never be perfect. So we also need to monitor the environment to do detection and mitigation when there is an attack. So these are sort of three prongs that together provide what we think is a significant improvement in the foundational security of the cloud.
Great. So let's take a look at each one of those in turn, and let's focus initially on the protection of workloads from the fabric. So can you explain a little bit more about how that works and perhaps illustrate what the fabric means to people out there who aren't perhaps as familiar?
All right. The way I think of the environment is that the fabric is the hardware and the hypervisors and the hosts and the storage and network and all of the things that run things. And they're owned by the service provider or the IT department, and it's essentially uniform in a cloud environment. On top of that, you have the workloads. And the workloads is essentially a large number of VMs that are owned and managed and controlled by the tenant or the workload owner. And then there is a separate thing that we call the management plane. And that is several pieces of management that are used for anything from managing the fabric to managing the workload. And those three are fairly well segregated in the environment. The problem we're facing here, this part of the discussion is about how to protect the workload from attack from either from underneath in the fabric or from the management plane. And what we are doing is we're introducing a new plane, something we call the trust plane. And the trust plane is a separate layer where we manage security critical things like cryptographic keys and certificates and other sensitive things. And this trust plane is separated from both the fabric and the management plane. And what that means is that the administrators of the fabric and the people who are administrators in the management plane cannot get at the trust plane. And this isolation allows us to use the trust plane as a foundation for a lot of important security-related things. Now, an obvious question you can ask is, how can we achieve that? How can we provide that isolation? And we have invented a significant new technology we call virtual secure mode. Virtual secure mode is a separate space within the server that is enforced by the hypervisor and uses hardware functions. So it creates this little separate world where nobody can get in, and in there we can put the security critical functions. This virtual secure mode doesn't contain Windows. There are no administrators in it. There is no network. You can't run arbitrary software in it. It is very tightly isolated. And inside there, we can create key management. We can create whitelisting of software. We can do a lot of important things that are necessary for that. And once we have this foundation with the trust plane, with things like key management services and the virtual secure mode and that whole plane there, now, on top of that, we can build things like using encryption, using BitLocker to protect the virtual machine or the data files or the databases that they use, ensure that certificates are handled securely and so on. So the trust plane is the foundation for this next step. Initially, we're rolling out a number of different ways that we're using this, such as encryption. But it forms the foundation for a long list of, we have a roadmap of other things we can do on this foundation.
So when you mention encryption and BitLocker, traditionally BitLocker has been about encrypting your physical laptop or your physical server in certain circumstances. So you're now saying that customers, IT pros, could take advantage of that inside the virtual machine.
Yes, and in fact, this highlights the challenge, because when you use BitLocker for a laptop, the laptop has a TPM, a piece of security hardware. A virtual machine cannot get access to that hardware. So that's why we have to create a virtual TPM, which we do inside VSM.
Okay.
Now, there is a hidden question in here that we also need to address. And that is, the technology exists, but if you go to a cloud provider and you say, I want to run this, and you click a checkbox and say, I want encryption, how do you know that the environment is really trustworthy? How do you know that those servers have not been hacked, that they don't have a rootkit on them, that the policies are in place and everything is robust? When we talk to our customers, we sometimes get an answer, which is a perfectly reasonable answer, and that is that when they're operating their own data center, they just trust that. They know that, they know what the environment is, they protect that. That's very reasonable. When you go to a cloud, there are two other kinds of answers. One of them is, if you look at the cloud like Azure, for example, Azure has done a lot of security auditing, and they have certification. So they have a long list of certificates where governments, the European Union, the US government, industries like the financial industry with credit cards and so on, they have validated the environment and they provided those certificates. And that's enormously important, because this auditing, this certificate, is not just about technology, it's about the processes and the people that are used. So you don't have to validate that Azure is doing things right. Somebody has done it for you, and you can see that certificate. But in addition, we are adding a technology to help other service providers to achieve that. And it is an attestation function, so that when the hoster boots up a server, it will have a secure negotiation with an attestation service that will check that this was a clean boot, a secure boot, policies are in place, and so on. And then it will hand out a certificate to the host that says, this is a good host. And if a host fails that, if a host has been hacked and it fails the certification, it doesn't get to participate in the computing. So it sort of is a combination of things like people and process, certification, and technology that together provides the foundation for the trust that you need to have in the cloud.
So that's a good example. So we're really helping to protect those key workloads inside the virtual machines. You mentioned that some examples like databases before. But when we think about the administration of a server, so for instance, when I'm in my lab, I'm the administrator and I've got ultimate control over what's inside my virtual machines, what's running in there, the applications and so on. That in itself, not specific to me, but is a security risk with full administrative credentials. Sometimes users and admins are given too much privilege. So how, and tell us a little bit more about the just-in-time and just-enough administration capabilities that are coming in the next wave.
This is a very interesting challenge, because it is inherently unsafe. It's a scary thing to give people unlimited control over the environment. But at the same time, you can't block it. They need the ability to work. And what we're introducing now with just in time and just enough admin is actually a technology that we have used internally in Microsoft, inside in our own operations of Azure and Office 365 and the other services. And only now have we figured out how to make it available to our customers as a function of Active Directory. And what it means is that at the starting point, the administrators don't have any privileges at all. And when they need to work on a system, to do something, repair or configure a system, they go to a portal and they check out temporary privileges to do that task. And those privileges will last some time, maybe 8 hours or whatever is suitable for that. So they can operate without any burden, without any friction. They can do their job with those temporary credentials. But then at the end of the task, those credentials disappear and they go on and get new credentials. This is very important, because it doesn't introduce any barriers to them to do their work. But we can validate this and we can audit this. And if somebody, like Edward Snowden, goes around and checks out privileges for everything around the entire environment, you can notice that and you can raise an alarm and you can see what's going on here. So this is a function that we're providing, and I want to make a very specific point. Both of these forms of protection, the just-in-time thing and the protection from the fabric attack, we have built that in such a way that it applies to existing workloads. You don't have to change all your domain controllers. You don't have to, it's not only for the latest system. The new technology applies to your existing system with minimal impact on the practical workflows.
Okay, so that would help me, certainly in my environment, to be a little bit more controlled about what I do and what I can access and so on. But when we think about the third bucket or the third item that you talked about before, we talked about protecting from the fabric and we talked about administration now. But let's fast forward and let's say that no security solution is perfect and that attacks will happen and there's been an attack. How then are Microsoft providing more detection and forensic capabilities in the platform?
That's absolutely correct. Everybody in the security industry knows you can't make claims about perfection. We have to be realistic. The bad guys are smart and they learn, they study and they adapt. Now, there have been efforts going on about intrusion detection in the past, but we think the stage is set for changing the way this is done and really making an advance here. And that comes from leveraging the awesome power of the cloud, because we can collect information from a lot of sources, both from the fabric and from the workloads, from private clouds and public clouds. We have our own anti-malware group, we have an anti-crime unit, we have partnerships in the industry, we have partnerships with government. We collect vast amounts of data and we can move all that data into the cloud where we can deal with what used to be considered insane amounts of data. We can apply big data analytics techniques, we can apply machine learning techniques, and we can both automatically detect bad behavior, and we can give tools to our customers so that they can sit down and analyze and search and query and find out what is going on. Once we have detected maybe a suspicious situation, you can then go in and see, was it really bad or was it a false alarm? So the whole the architecture, the foundation for this is very powerful, but it is also open and extensible, and partners in the industry can also plug in and use these things. So we think this will be an important foundation. Again, this is something we have used before. Our anti-malware team, for example, has been doing this for a long time. We're now making it available to our customers. And as before, this is a first step of a roadmap. We are learning. We are looking what the bad guys are doing. We are adapting. We're learning. And that, in fact, is one of the key advantages of delivering this function as a cloud service. Because we can update this literally daily, and we do. And the customers don't have to run in a rat race and trying to install new technologies and so on. So we think this will be an enormously important advance as we move forward, and it's a long-term roadmap.
Okay, and that's available today as operational insights, and,
yes.
And it will progress as we go forward, like you say, as we add more capability to it. Okay.
That's correct.
Now, so that's protection of the fabric, we've talked about administration, and now we've talked about detection and forensics. Is all of this specific to having to have the latest and greatest versions of Windows on premises, or do people have more flexibility than that?
This has been a very important aspect for us in the design of this thing, because it wouldn't do anybody any good if we come out with really secure technology that nobody can figure out how to use. That's been done before. So we raised it as a high-level goal to make sure that the new technology applies to existing systems, to existing Windows systems, to existing Linux systems. It is not always possible. Some of the advances we're introducing do apply only going forward. But almost everything we have sketched out here today applies to older systems, applies to Linux, and is designed in such a way that it doesn't require large changes in the way an IT department works. It wouldn't make us any friends if we go in and say, we have a great new secure environment. All you have to do is change everything about your environment. People cannot consume things like that. So we put a lot of effort into this thing, adaptability without requiring change, making it robust, making it possible to troubleshoot it if something goes wrong. so on. This has been a very big part of this whole exercise. And a very big part of this emphasis on making it practical is, in fact, cloud consistency. That the things that I've talked about here will apply for Azure, for private cloud, and for third-party hosters. Not necessarily at the same time. In some cases, we need to build something into the foundation, into the platform, and then Azure adopts it when they can. In some cases, it works the other way around, and Azure develops something faster because it's a closed and well-defined environment, and then it takes us a while to figure out how to generalize it. But the roadmap is very clearly aimed at keeping these systems fairly close. And the reason is that we need to tell our customers that they will have a certain level of protection regardless of which cloud they're using. And that will be a constant guideline as we move forward. Security is a roadmap. We can never relax. The bad guys are smart and adaptive. But we think that this story lays the foundation for being able to give a strong answer to that first question. How can I trust the cloud?
Okay, well, thank you, Anders. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of this particular session. Hopefully you found it useful. We've covered a lot around the security and assurance side and build on some of the announcements you've heard at Ignite. Please make sure that you check out the other videos in the series on compute and storage and networking and Linux and service delivery and more. And also view more on security at Microsoft Ignite On Demand. You can view that online. But all that's left for me to do is thank Anders. Thanks to you for watching, and hopefully we'll see you again on another MVA course. Thank you.